good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak on a beaut. Fan Friday edition of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I gave you guys a little bit of a Drew Brees pump fake with the intro on yesterday's podcast, but this time I came through with the full Fan Friday introduction. We got a lot of questions from y'all, as we always do, because y'all are fantastic allies of the pod, to take over the show for this episode. If we have a little bit of time at the end, maybe we'll carve out a little bit of time to give our predictions for what we think will happen for the AFC and NFC championship games. But before we get to these mountain of questions, Ben, my dear friend, how are you and how does it feel to now have a head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, no, I mean, everything is delicious. Sirianni's like, he's not Josh McDaniels.
You're excited that you just get to now say Sirianni, like, all the time. Like in the Inglorious Bastards voice.
Sirianni. It's a great name. I like him. Like, when they interviewed him, I was like, this is one of the best candidates they're going to interview that will realistically take the job. Like, do I think Brian Daboll's better? Yeah. I never thought Brian Daboll was going to take the job. There's no reason for him to take this job. So it's a good alignment of, you know, this is the best opportunity he's ever gotten. This is, you know, the Eagles want a young offensive innovator. He's got a West Coast background. He's going to be hopefully able to fix Carson Wentz because he's worked with Frank Reich, which, like, people are like, oh, see, this is all about Wentz. And it's like, well, I mean, just because he's worked with Reich, I'm not sure it's like...
Well, I mean, I still think it is all about Wentz, obviously.
I do, too. I don't think the fact that he's worked with Reich makes him more likely to be able to fix Wentz. I don't think that's how it works.
I think that they think that, though. Do you think that they think that? Because I do.
I think that they think that Sirianni will be able to fix Wentz because of their experience with Sirianni, because of their, the way that he talked about it, because of how he wants to run the offense, because of what he agreed to in the interview, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Some of that may have to do with the fact that he views the game a similar way, use similar verbiage to Frank Reich. I just don't think that, like, there's, like, magical Frank Reich dust, you know, just like, well, leadership mumbo jumbo.
the leadership serum.
Yeah, exactly. That'll just like be like, Wentz now respects Nick Sirianni, and here we go. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's better than McDaniels. I didn't want them to hire McDaniels, but it would have been hilarious if they did, because everybody knew that they were hiring McDaniels because McDaniels was going to potentially be a prick to Wentz. And
that wasn't going to go well.
Right, exactly. If you're Wentz, and like everybody's like, the Eagles have hired McDaniels because he's going to be mean to Carson. You just be sitting there like, first day of camp, you like Josh McDaniels like, hey, it's good to meet you. You'd be like, screw you, dude! Like, you'd just be like, so angry immediately. So that would have been funny, but that didn't happen. So we'll see. But I think he coaches a good offense. I'm excited to see him call plays. I think that he's going to be good for Jalen Reagor. Getting him the ball quickly, getting the ball underneath. Yeah, I think that's going to be the big improvement. So I'm excited about that.
Very quick hit horizontal offense, right? Like get the ball in the hands of the playmakers kind of a thing.
Oh, when they interviewed him, I just posted a picture of Mesh, which is...
Hell yeah, baby.
The Eagles ran like 25,000 times under Chip Kelly, obviously. And I was like, no doubt about it. I'm ready to get hurt again.
Good.
Let's go. We haven't mained Mesh as our number one passing game concept in a few years here in Philadelphia. Excited to be back.
All right, let's get to these questions. First one's from Ethan. He said, this is my Fan Friday question for fixing the best solutions to the rule, which is what we talked about last week where you're fumbling it out of bounds into the end zone. He said, this is my solution. Every fumble that goes out of bounds is the defense's ball. Consistency is key. doesn't matter.
Okay, wait. That has legs.
Listen, Dan Campbell wants you to protect the football at all costs, including your kneecaps, including their kneecaps.
We did not get one specific Dan Campbell question.
You know what? You are right.
I was devastated. I was positive somebody was going to be like, you know, okay, if you had to eat a man's kneecaps, what three condiments, what utensils? how would you prepare it? You know what I mean? I was certain we were going to get a Dan Campbell question. Nothing. And I'll be honest, the fans didn't bring it this week. Come on now. You got to work for Fan Friday episode. Ask Dan Campbell.
Now that you say that, I am also very surprised that we didn't get a Dan Campbell question. Going off on a tangent here, I mean, like, his press conference was one of the strangest ones, like, I've ever seen. Like, if you thought that Matt Patricia was, like, this, like, no-nonsense, full, like, discipline to the nth degree kind of a coach, I mean, Dan Campbell is, like, to the moon of that level. That was, I don't even know what that press conference was. What kind of football team are you going to be? Well, we're going to be a football team that kicks you in the teeth, and then when you punch us back, we're going to smile, and then when you get us down, we're going to get back up, or we're going to bite your kneecap on the way up. What are we? And then that was only the first third.
The best thing is he's like tearing up as he says it. It's like he's reciting the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
It's like I quoted it with Winston Churchill's "We Will Fight Them on the Beaches" speech. Because that's to him, this was like... Like, he's stood in front of his mirror at 2 a.m., like, in the years past, thinking about getting a head coaching job and being like, and then I'll tell him we're going to bite them on the kneecap. Finally be my team. And I want to make one thing very clear. Dan Campbell could murder me.
Oh,
and not only
sure,
could Dan Campbell murder me, off of the information I currently have, Dan Campbell would murder me.
There's
a thing he'd be willing to do.
There were a couple of questions of like, please update the head coach Royal Rumble now that Dan Campbell's into it. I mean, what do you guys want us to do? He's number one, clearly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's no reason to talk about anything else.
No conscience, right? I Dan Campbell and not love Dan Campbell, respect Dan Campbell. Think Dan Campbell's gonna be a great Lions head coach. Please don't come knock on my door. Dan Campbell. I live in Michigan, and I'm concerned about my nearness to him.
I forgot you live in the same state as this man. Dan Campbell versus Mike Vrabel in a cage match would be a very interesting one. I mean, I have to go with Dan Campbell, just because, if nothing else, but because he's got kind of like that stringy goatee going on, and like anybody who has that.
The big difference here is the beard.
Yeah,
the big difference. Because when Vrabel grows it out, he looks kind of like a regular human being.
Right. Vrabel does that mustache thing, which kind of gives you the thought of, like, he could be, like, a back alley kind of fight, like, boxing dude in the 1920s, you know? A little bit bigger than that, but I still think I got to go with scraggly goatee Dan Campbell in the cage match. So
what was the question we're supposed to be answering right now?
I didn't even get to the question part yet. I just threw out any fumble that goes out of bounds at the defense's ball, which was...
Decided immediately to take a left. Right?
Yeah, as we often do on the podcast. He said, I want to re-ask, assuming that the Texans are looking to trade for Watson, do you think it would be possible for the Texans to acquire Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love and something else draft-related for a trade for Deshaun Watson? They'd be giving up their amazing QB now that might have 2 to 3 years left, plus you get Jordan Love in the tank, which you could groom if you believe in, and then you can get more picks that they would send as well. He said he's a Packers fan, so he'd be willing to... He would be willing for them to do this. I don't think that this trade would ever get proposed or do, but it's a very interesting thing to think about. So that's why I wanted to throw it out there.
No. I don't... here's my thing. With how well Rodgers going to win the MVP, they're not going to move him. If you are Ryan Gutekunst, if you are Matt LaFleur right now, you're thinking to yourself, we're going to compete every single year in the NFC. We've gone back-to-back NFC championship games with Rodgers and LaFleur. We're going to keep that together for as long as possible. Rodgers doesn't move. Does that mean Love is more likely to move? I would argue yes. You know, it's not one-to-one, but it's similar to when the Patriots drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. We were all like, this might mean they're going to move Brady. And then Brady won 2 Super Bowls, and we were like, they're going to move Garoppolo, right? Because when the starting quarterback re-entrenches himself as still the dude despite his advanced age, part of the value of making that quarterback draft pick, the Colts picked Love at 26, is that you could potentially use him as a trade piece stronger than 26 and return value on that selection. Packaging him into a Deshaun Watson trade is interesting, but because you're not moving Rodgers, the Texans would need to be like a part of a three-team trade, which we just have not seen happen in the NFL yet.
Yeah.
Because it would be Deshaun going to Team X, the Packers sending Love to Team X, and then Team X giving significant draft capital both directions to make those things equitable. Not sure you're going to get that. So to me, as fun as Deshaun in Green Bay sounds, no.
No. I don't really see a reality where that would take place. Soren asked this question. He said, if Olave would have declared for this draft, who would have drafted him? I think there's a lot of people that would have thought that Chris Olave was a fringe first-round pick. I'm not sure that he would have ended up being a first-round pick. I think it all kind of depends how the board would fall. But, you know, if a team like New Orleans wanted to pick up somebody, another receiver, if a team like Green Bay wanted to do it, although I don't think that they really need to. Kansas City Chiefs at 32. But, I mean, look, not to 100% make the Ohio State Urban Meyer connection, but Jaguars pick at 33, and that will be their third pick of the draft. So you figure they're probably going quarterback at the top with Trevor Lawrence, and then they could go trenches on the offensive side of the ball at 25, maybe a cornerback at 25, and then 33, you go, all right, some offensive weapons. Chris Olave probably still would have been there. I think that would have been a nice destination for him too, but those are a couple of teams that just pop out to me if you want to go fringe first round slash, you know, the inside that top 35.
Did Meyer recruit Olave? He did, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I had not thought about that. I gave the Jaguars Kadarius Toney in their second pick in the first round because I liked that idea of Urban Meyer just being super aggressive and getting as many good athletes as he can. Olave makes sense for them, obviously. I think that, right, it depends on how they were going to use 25 and then use the top of the second round. I liked Baltimore with Chris Olave a lot. Talk about a player who can be a possession receiver for you, which is something that they need, but also still fills your speed component because it's so important to them to stretch the field vertically. Mm-hmm. Not a perfect fit, but I thought it was a good fit. Kansas City at 32 should not have gone underappreciated as a landing spot. Once again, filling the team's speed component. Sammy Watkins is a free agent. Right now they're just Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Mecole Hardman, so they're a little bit thin at wide receiver. So I thought that was a legitimate team. And then, at the top of the second round after the Jaguars, would have been a good fit with the Jets as well. Jameson Crowder is your set slot.
Yeah.
Denzel Mims is your set contested catch guy. You know, I'm hesitant to say X receiver because Mims is probably worse getting off press than Chris Olave is right now. But he's going to be your contested guy. He's going to be your physicality guy. You're going to use him as a possession receiver at times as well. And then Olave is going to bring speed element, releases off the line of scrimmage, route running on the outside. And so, to me, Olave was going to pick up in the top 40 picks. You made this comparison. It's not dissimilar to what Devonta Smith might have done in the 2019 NFL draft.
Right.
Olave's going back trying to make, you know, $8 million by going from pick 35, 40 to pick like 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, go for it, young man. It's a risky bet.
I don't think it's going to happen, but.
Yeah.
Especially because you're losing Justin Fields, you know, it's like.
Right. Well, it's interesting because with both Olave and Rucker back, they've really got to think that this freshman, C.J. Stroud, I believe his name is, can play. And I always forget his name because C.J. Stroud does not sound like the name of a good freshman quarterback. I'm sorry. It sounds like C.J. Stroud.
No,
not
I don't know. C.J. Stroud seems kind of
quarterback-y.
Spencer
Rattler?
Okay.
C.J. Uyunglele?
Okay. If you're comparing any quarterback to Spencer Rattler, then yeah, everything's going to fall up short.
Usually when you hear like a star quarterback recruit's name, you're like, yep, C.J. Stroud.
Only other name better than Spencer Rattler is whatever quarterback starts with the name Gunner. That's it. That's the only better quarterback name that you're going to find than Spencer Rattler.
What was the name?
Gunner Keel was the one.
Yeah. There it is. Thank you. Gunner Keel,
which was
baby.
Almost Gunner Kill, which, you know, like, phenomenal. Absolutely
he
great.
He was like a bit of a tank, too, right? He, like, in a build.
Was
like
it was like, I didn't think that he was. All right, now I got to Google him.
He was 6'4", and he wore, like, He wore like big.
He wore the giant like flak jacket thing.
Exactly. Okay. Right. And then he had the beard. So you were like, wow, they really just found some dude in Montana and put him at quarterback.
Wow, his middle name was Trey. Damn, what
Gunner
a name.
Gunner Trakeel.
What a name.
Shout out Gunner Keel.
Yeah, big shout out.
All right, but anyway, so they with Olave and Ruckert both going back, there's got to be a belief in the building that Stroud's going to come in and play well. That's your two of your three primary pass catchers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's with them back, Garrett Wilson obviously still in the building, and then like Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jason Smith and Jigba, Jackson Fleming back. They're freshmen. This might be the best receiving core in the country next year, which is a ton of fun. What remains to be seen is if Olave gets the target volume that he did last year, because you imagine these freshmen are going to be playing a little bit better and are going to be getting more looks, especially
Wilson's
with the young
still
quarterback
there,
in there.
Obviously, so
yeah,
it's a risk for him for sure. I thought that he probably would have been an early second round pick this year. He's trying to go the Devontae Smith route. I'm not so sure it happens. I mean, I think that he could be a first round pick, and so like if that's what you want to do. I think that, you know, of course, this wide receiver class is very, very good. His name isn't at the top right now. Another year of him, another year of hype, another year of good production could very well be a first-round wide receiver, even if you're wide receiver 4 or 5. We've seen that can be the case. And so he's just trying to make sure that he's a first-round wide receiver, so can't hate him for it. Reza asked this one. It's a doozy, but we had to dive into it. So long-time listener, first-time Fan Friday participant. With that said, construct a 22-man roster, 11 offense, 11 defense, using only jersey numbers to create the most aesthetically superior starting lineup in the league. I didn't go with just jersey numbers. I went with specific players and total aesthetics.
Wow. I just did jersey numbers.
Okay, so you go first just using jersey numbers, because there were a couple of instances where I wanted to pick a certain jersey number for a position, but there wasn't a good guy who wore it. But I was committed to doing like overall aesthetics. Oh, so okay. I'm willing to...
All of mine are like probably kind of sort of based off of players who have played. Just
sure,
as inevitably
sure, sure.
Is what has to happen.
Right, okay, so I want to hear yours.
Yeah, okay, so my quarterback is wearing number 2. Okay. He's handing the ball off to number 21.
Okay, great.
On the outside, 11 and 17 play.
Okay.
With number 10 in the slot.
Interesting. Okay.
Was it Dan who asked this question?
Reza asked this question.
Reza. So he said either blocking or receiving tight end.
Yeah.
I went with 85. That way I get both.
Yeah. So yeah. 85 is a great number.
Yeah. Yep. Offensive line, bookends, 73 and 69. Nice.
100%.
Guards, 65 and 70. Why? Because both my guards can maybe play tackle. And then 62 is a center, which is a direct Jason Kelce call. I don't
care. Okay.
Defensive line was interesting. He wanted 3 defensive linemen. One of them had to be a nose. So I've got 97, 99, and 93. 99 is my nose, obviously. He wanted 3 backers, 2 of whom rush. 58 and 55 will rush for me. 55 can also come off ball because 55 is a great off ball linebacker number.
Yeah, it is. 45.
Yeah, 45 will be my off ball middle linebacker. So I'm running like a 5-1. I'm running like a 3-3 stack. That's going to be how I line up. I think it's going to look good. Corner, I struggled with because you obviously get 24, and then you need another outside corner, and that's where it's like a little bit of body type, like who's out there. I ended up with 25.
Okay.
And then in the slot, I'll be very frank with you, I love a good 40 number in the slot. I don't hate it. A good 30 number or 40 number in the slot. You rock a 37, you rock a 41, looking super small, and it's dissonant, but it works. So you can do that. You can also, like, if you're going to be like a box safety, you bring in a 27, bring in a 29, bring in a 43. That works for me. Safeties, 1 rangy, 1 thumper. My range is 31. My thumper's always wearing 20. Only way you can wear a thumper, only way you can flip it is if you're Cam Chancellor, and then you're 31, you're basically a linebacker. Mm. But 31 and 20 for my safeties.
Okay, so we shared a lot of similar ones, but when I took in like total aesthetic, you're going to see where I'm a little bit different here. For quarterback, the quarterback aesthetic is I picked like prime Cam Newton wearing number 1. you know, just like absolute swagged out Cam Newton.
Of course. Yeah.
For running back, I have Ezekiel Elliott wearing 21, crop top and all. Wide receiver, Julio Jones wearing 11 on the outside. Mike Williams with 81 on the other outside. That was
wow.
One.
You didn't
do 81, and I thought that you were going to do 81. And then in the slot, in the slot, I also have number 11. Like, I have Julian Edelman, but I'm with you. Like, it can be like 11 or 10, something like that for a slot wide receiver. So if you're not picking Julio Jones as your outside guy, like if you wanted to pick Davante Adams for 17, then you could do that. Tight end, I went with Travis Kelce over George Kittle because I felt like 87 could be more of a blocking tight end if you wanted it to be than 85. Like, if you are an 85 tight end, I feel like you're a receiver. Like, I just feel like you are a receiver, which is not a bad thing. I just felt like 87 more represented the versatility that the tight end position could be. Offensive line. Got Tyron Smith wearing not only number 77, which I think is a good offensive tackle number, but also like every offensive line accessory known to man. Like, he's got the elbow pads, he's got the wrist tape, he's got the knee braces, he's got the neck roll, he's got the giant height shoulder pads. Like, he just looks like a monster over there. And then on the other side, I have 69, but not just any 69. David Bakhtiari, 69, because he's got the long hair, the elbow pads, the like the greased up offensive tackle look. He just looks like a lunch pail guy. Speaking of lunch pail guys, center, Ryan Jensen. Come on, dude. Like, wearing a dark...
Jason Kelce.
66, wearing a dark visor.
62 with a mullet.
Weird tattoos coming out the side with long red hair. Get out of here. I love Jason Kelce as much as the next guy, but Ryan Jensen's the peak center aesthetic. I got Quentin Nelson on the other side just because he's 56. I think that's obscure. And then Will Hernandez with the giant shoulder pads wearing 72 on the other side. D-line. My nose, you could either go with 99 or you could go completely obscure. And I went completely obscure with Vita Vea wearing 50.
50, right. Which, like, that's like where like my slot corner thing comes in. It's like sometimes dissonance is great, but 99 should be the best defensive tackle number.
So I have 99.
What did Danny Shelton used to wear? Like 77 or something?
No, it wasn't 77. What did
72?
Shelton wear? I thought Shelton was in the 50s.
71. Danny Shelton wore 71.
Oh,
which
Lord.
Exactly. It's like, what? Ugh, why?
So ugly.
Exactly.
That's
but then
so
he's like,
ugly.
Oh, it's Danny Shelton.
My other defensive lineman, I have Chase Young wearing 99, and then I just love 91. Like, I was trying to find the best 91. And I don't know who it is. Who's the best player to wear 91 right now? Kerrigan?
I can't. Yeah.
Is Kerrigan wearing 91?
Right, yeah. 91 is a weird one.
I love 91 for a pass rusher. Like an edge rusher.
I can't even think. Strahan wore 92. Let's see. 91. There's two Hall of Famers who've ever worn 91. Kevin Green and Reggie White.
Wow, never heard of him.
I didn't know he ever wore 91. Weird.
Linebackers, I only have two written down. We're supposed to do three, but I have DeMario Davis wearing 56 and then also Jalen Smith wearing 54 because I think those are great linebacker numbers and they are also great linebacker aesthetics overall. Shout out to Dreadlocks. Three corners, outside corner, 24, Stephon Gilmore, 20, Jalen Ramsey, and then in the slot, 23, Jair Alexander. But I can definitely get with you saying slot corners can wear weird numbers and still absolutely thrive. I'm totally with you there. Then as my safeties, I just picked two of the guys that I love their aesthetic. Derwin James, unprecedented, he wears 33. And then Jabril Peppers wears 21. Which I think is also a great safety number. And then he also just looks great as a safety, even though he's not like an elite safety.
He does. Jabril, Michigan Jabril had a great
vibe. Yeah, yeah. I think we went way too long on that segment, but you know what? We're here for the aesthetics. I got to read some ads. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinct designers working today. Using diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring launching exclusively January 18th over at BlueNile.com. Also, I'm starving doing this podcast, so this ad read is just going to kill me. But Built Bar's got 18 amazing flavors that you guys can put in for a protein bar wherever you need to for your diet, whether it is as a meal replacement, which I sure wish I had before we started this podcast because I wouldn't be so hungry, or if it's something that you want to throw in before a workout to give you some extra energy, after a workout to give you that protein fuel, whatever you want to do. Built Bar has not only great tasting protein bars, but they're fantastic for you. Low in calories, low in sugar, but also high in protein and high in fiber. Go over to BuiltBar.com, check out all the flavors that they have and all the deals for you to mix and match different flavors in a single box order. You can get a couple of different boxes. Whatever you end up doing, use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's all caps, no spaces, locked on, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Percent, guys, not just $20, 20% off your next order. So the more you buy, the more you save. Use the promo code locked on, 20% off over at builtbar.com. Question from the respected madman. What a wonderful Twitter name. Catch a pass on Jalen Ramsey or break up a pass to Antonio Brown? Which one would you rather do? They are not on your favorite team.
You just want define to break up a pass.
I assume that you just have to make sure he does not catch the football.
Are there referees on the field?
Yes.
Dang.
If I say no, is it? If I say no, it's easily Antonio Brown, right? Because you're just going to try to latch onto him weird and not let him get the ball.
It's probably still Antonio Brown because it's a question of who's going to get bored first. And I think it'll be Brown, who'll just be like, all right, like, let's just get this over with. Versus Ramsey, who, like, if you're like, hey, this guy thinks he can catch a pass on you before he can break a pass to Antonio Brown, Ramsey would be like, I will be here all night.
My big question is, like, do you just, like, go back and just reset the rep? Or is it just like, oh, you get one attempt to try to do these things, and if you fail, okay, we're all going to Arby's afterwards.
Well, he said first, so it's, you know, you run a route on Ramsey and then break a pass on Brown, and then run a route on Ramsey and then break a pass on Brown.
Oh.
And like that, so it's like, it's a gauntlet. Like, it's kind of like, that's how I'm kind of thinking about it, you know what I mean?
Oh. Which do I think would happen first? Yeah, I guess I would think the Antonio Brown one would happen first simply by chance, because you could maybe try to get your hands on him some way. And, like, there's always the chance that he just happens to drop the passes coming in, whereas Jalen can just lock you down with his eyes closed every single rep. So I would agree. I think the Antonio Brown is the answer there. Christian asked this one. He said, yes, I know it's not going to happen, but what would the Colts have to offer to get Trevor Lawrence so that the Colts can continue the trend of drafting Elway, Manning, Luck, and then Lawrence? He said, yes, I know Elway never played. And then he has a Photoshop of Lawrence in a Colts jersey with
like unicorns, right?
I mean, these are just white horses. These are just white Colts in the background. This is an incredible Photoshop.
That's extremely obvious. I was like, why are there unicorns? They're horses. They're Colts. That's the
you
team.
Idiot.
Moron.
So here's all the thing, Christian. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts are in the same division. There's not really a trade that you could propose that could even get the Jaguars to probably pick up the phone. I guess I'm looking at their depth chart now.
Man, imagine approaching Fan Friday with a sense of cowardice. Imagine not immediately sculpting out.
Okay,
a
what,
trade
are they
scenario.
Gonna, What are they gonna give up? Darius Leonard and 5 first round picks.
Conference realignment, okay. Sir.
Okay, all right. Let's hear it. No, go okay, down the rabbit hole.
Obviously, the conferences make no sense, and as we've talked about several times, I actually don't know how much we've talked about this like on this podcast, but the every conference has one team. You're like, what are you doing here? And so you can work to try and get Jacksonville and Indianapolis out of the same conference. And the fact that they are in the AFC South when Indianapolis is, let me do some math here, in the North makes no sense. So A, we realign the conferences. Indianapolis enters a conference with Detroit,
okay,
with Chicago,
okay,
with Cleveland.
Okay.
We're going to break every single rivalry that's ever existed ever. But it's
wait. What teams were those again?
Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago.
is the most blue-collar division I've ever heard of in my life.
That's bad. The Midwest, baby, is how we do it.
There's going to be absolutely no kneecaps for any player on any team.
That's going to be extremely a non-kneecap division.
Yeah. We're talking final score, like, max of, like, 17.
So, Chicago, Indy, Detroit, Cleveland. I don't really know where I'm putting Green Bay and Minnesota in this instance, but whatever. Jacksonville
bring
joins
two Canadian teams in and just like make have candidate.
I'm very down for that. Jacksonville joins Houston.
Oh no, wait. I got it. Okay, I got it. You could make the almost Canada division between Buffalo, Green Bay, Minnesota, and Seattle.
Wow, just a border division.
Right. We just call it the almost Canada division.
I like it. Doesn't solve our travel problems, but I think it's good. Jacksonville joins some new AFC South, get Miami in there, get Tampa Bay in there, get Tennessee, get Houston, get whatever you want.
Atlanta?
Atlanta makes sense. Now we're in different divisions. Jacksonville can now trade the number one overall pick to the Colts.
Okay. Trade value out here.
Trade value chart-wise, moving from 21 to 1, not that hard. You basically need one whole entire draft. Just every single
Mike
pick.
Mike Ditka is not phased.
Right. If you look at like the Rams-Titans trade, okay, which was 15 to 1, right? The Titans got 15, 43, 45, 76, another one, and another three. So two ones, two twos, two threes to go from 15 to 1. You're going from 21 to 1. You can get two ones, two twos, two threes, two fours.
Jesus.
Defray it across the course of three seasons. Okay. So this year, we give you a one, a two, and a three. We move up. We get Trevor Lawrence. We go win a championship. 2022, we'll give you back a one. We'll give you a one and a four. 2023, we'll give you a two, a three, and a four. And that is how the Colts trade from 21 to 1. Get Trevor Lawrence. Draft Trevor Lawrence. Have mad cap space. Sign Allen Robinson. Sign Taylor Moten. Sign Richard Sherman. Immediate contenders.
I'm very
Does a rookie quarterback ever won the Super Bowl? Yes. Trevor Lawrence.
I'm very proud of you. That's the most true Fan Friday thing.
Trevor's going to come with the most nonsense. Okay, so we trade Quentin Nelson and we trade DeForest Buckner. And I was like, I have to be prepared for this.
Damn.
And then lo and behold, you're like, bad news, buddy. They're in the same division. I was like, really? This is going to stop Trevor from a ridiculous trade question?
Damn, you know what? You should be. I'm disappointed in me. I'm sorry to everybody out there who listens to the podcast. I let you down this Fan Friday. It'll never happen again. Next time you ask me a trade proposition, I'm going to get zany as possible. I'm going to put a team on the moon.
You know me, Trevor. You know the thing that I always say. You remember my saying, of course.
Everything is delicious.
Hear me out. That's what I say.
Kill you. I will dox you to Dan Campbell himself.
You don't know my address. Do you know my address?
No. I like that you think I don't know your address.
I'm trying to think of a thing you've invited me to. You've invited me to anything.
Mm-hmm. Keep thinking that, pal. Okay, if you had to, this is from Caleb. If you had to build a roster out of current or former WWE superstars, who would be your cornerstones on each side of the ball? I know Ben doesn't really know WWE superstars.
But I'd say, this one 100% did not actually do, so I'm going to need you to do this one.
Right, no, well, Ben doesn't really know WWE, but we get so many WWE football questions every week. I want to answer at least one because I grew up watching a little bit of WWE. So I don't really know for quarterback. I didn't do every single position because he said who would just be the cornerstones on each side of the ball. Running back, Rey Mysterio, absolutely 100%. Shifty, you get him in there. He's annoying. He's Philip Lindsay, you know? He just doubted his whole life. Gets in there, just produces every time you put him out there. That's Rey Mysterio.
Your best running back option is Philip Lindsay?
We're talking about WWE superstars, dude. We're talking about, like, roided it up. I mean, if you want to put like Mark Henry out there, like the Big Show out there, and he's like 6 foot six, 400 pounds, and sure, you can hand him the ball and just have him run forward if you want.
I respect it.
I guess that works. Offensive line, now that I'm saying it out loud, maybe I should have gone with that. Offensive line, I've got Kane and Undertaker because you're brothers. So, you know, just like bookend, tackle, guard, whatever you want to do. You just can't get by them. Just run the ball on their side. Defense, I got Rikishi playing nose, okay? Ben, Rikishi is a... They basically had his character be just a giant sumo wrestler. So, as you could expect, he's just a bowling ball straight in the middle. So, I've got him. I got Brock Lesnar playing on the defensive line because he literally did play defensive line, played for the Minnesota Vikings in training camp. Never even made it, though. He got cut. Off the edge, I have the superstar Edge because that was his name, and I wasn't about to rob him of that. So Edge is playing Edge. Linebacker, this is the easiest pick of my life. It's Bill Goldberg. He's going to sit there and spear people coming up the B-gap.
Obviously.
Has to be. And then DB, because DBs are, you know, a little crazy in the head. I had Jeff Hardy. Had to give Jeff Hardy, because Jeff Hardy never gave a damn about his own body. He probably broke bones 18 million times during his WWE career, would lay his body on the line, and that's what DB's got to do. You got to get a little crazy. You got to have a guy who's a little bit nuts. I think Jeff Hardy's got the size for it, too. So here we go. Joe at work said, would you rather attend the Super Bowl of your favorite team or sit in the draft war room of your team's biggest rival? Why wouldn't we want to sit in the war room of our favorite team? Like, why wouldn't we want to do that?
Have you seen me try to mock? You think I could sit in the Eagles war room?
Yeah, but it'd be fun. You don't have to do anything. You're not making decisions. You're just sitting there watching.
You don't have to do anything. Yeah, like, I'm going to sit there, having covered the entire draft class for 9 months, and be like, let me not have an opinion.
Well, are we employed by the team, or do they treat you like some like in school intern where you're standing in the corner and they think it's just a quote unquote great experience for you?
I'd rather attend the Super Bowl. I wouldn't want to be in the war room. I couldn't do it, man.
I'd absolutely rather be in the war room. You know why? Because I can buy a Super Bowl ticket at some point. I could maybe even cover a Super Bowl game. How am I getting in the war room? It's priceless. This is where you failed on Fan Friday.
Idea that, like,
you psyched
getting...
yourself out into something that you could obtain right now. And the point of these questions is to always, always take the answer that money can't buy, that you could never do.
Is the idea that, like, you're in the enemy's draft room and you're like learning about their secrets?
I guess. I guess that's why Joe said
that. Like, it's like the Cowboys and they're at 10 and, you know, Rashawn Slater saw on the board and like, they're can't wait for Rashawn Slater to fall to us. And then I like text Howie Roseman on the low and I'm like, they're waiting for Slater.
And he texts back and he's like, I told you to delete this number.
Yeah, like deploy the Chargers. And then all of a sudden the Chargers trade up to 9 and take Slater. Like, what is that? That would be fun. I'd like to be a sleeper agent.
I guess. Maybe that's the whole reason why Joe asked the question. So would you rather be a sleeper agent or go to your team Super Bowl? I guess at that point, I'd rather, yeah, be a sleeper agent and become
I bet nobody else gets to be a sleeper agent. I mean, but maybe they do, and I don't know, because that's the whole point. Wow. We get asked a question, and we make a whole new question.
I mean,
this has been a good Fan Friday for us taking over things.
Yeah, everybody's trying to take over the show, and we're out here just taking it back. Gage asked this. He said, what TV show or universe would you want to be? No, what TV show universe would you want to be dropped in to live in? I have two answers to this. I have a movie answer and a TV show answer.
I also have two answers, and I also have a TV show answer and a movie answer, wow. Kind of.
Okay.
All right, so because my initial question is like, all right, Star Wars was a movie franchise. It's now it's still a movie franchise, but it's obviously moved onto the screen. And so I can now like say Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like I could do that. I could be like, drop me in Clone Wars, drop me in Mandalorian, I'm in the Star Wars universe. Though it doesn't feel like it's a full-on like TV show universe, right? So
sure.
Star Wars is my like kind of cheating answer. Pokemon is my not cheating answer, which even though Pokemon started as a video game, on the screen it's still like a TV show, right? Like, that's like they made movies after, but it was originally a TV show, and that's how I feel like most kids meet Pokemon through the TV show, and then like I want to play the game.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So Star Wars is a kind of cheating answer, and then Pokemon is my legit answer.
That's a really good answer because there's, you know, like people could say like, oh, I'd love to be dropped in like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but you're
going to be the exact same person. You're going to die more.
Right. I tried to think of that part. So,
that's why Pokemon is like, because you just be like, Pokemon's a good one. It's like, yeah, you have the tools necessary to do so. I mean, I suppose you need funds, but besides that,
no, we got funds. We do this podcast. We got unlimited funds.
Hey, let's go.
All right, so my TV show answer was a shout out to my childhood. It was Rocket Power, which is a normal universe. It's not different, but I just wanted to live like with the Rocket Power crew growing up. Like I wanted that to be my upbringing. So Pokemon, I'm definitely giving it to you. That's a better answer because it changes the actual universe. But I thought of like the setting that I would love to grow up in when I was a kid, and I just always so badly wanted to live in the Rocket Power world. And
this is the first time I've ever heard of Rocket Power.
You've never even heard of the show Rocket Power?
I've never even seen these characters. Why is this guy wearing a shark on his head?
It's all right. So I'll just let you know. The show is based around like these kids basically living in summertime their whole life and just doing sports things. They live in California and they live out on a pier near the beach and they just do like all these sports like skateboarding and street hockey and BMX biking and like surfing and all this kinds of stuff. And like
whoa. The Wikipedia, the adventurous and vain sports enthusiast Oswald Otto Rocket, tomboyish and kind-hearted older sister Regina Rocket, the brainy newcomer and techno whiz kid Sam Squid Dullard,
yep.
And the dim-witted but loyal videographer Maurice Twister Rodriguez. Maurice Twister Rodriguez didn't ask for that. Everybody else got nice things. Dim-witted but loyal. Well, he's a golden retriever?
I mean, he is kind of dim-witted.
That's so sad. That's mean.
You need to watch the show. You need to watch the show. And then my movie answer for what universe I'd like to be popped in is basically anything where I can travel in space. Like if we wanted to go action movie, like I thought about Guardians of the Galaxy because, okay, I wouldn't be a member of Guardians of the Galaxy, but I'd still like space travel would still be a thing. You could have your own spaceship. You go from planet to planet, do all that kinds of stuff because like that existed. In a like more serious one, have you ever seen the movie Ad Astra? Have you seen that movie? It's with Brad Pitt.
Yes.
It's a space movie.
Yeah.
So it's different than like Interstellar or Martian or something like that, where these are space movies, but the things that happen in space are still limited to like five or six people, like just straight astronauts. Whereas in Ad Astra, it's in the future, and there's like a whole ass colony on the moon. Like people just live on the moon. And so space travel is common to much more than just like 5 or 10 people. And so if I am fascinated by everything that happens with space and space travel and going from planet to the moons and whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And like that's one that being more common, like that being more accessible is something that would blow my mind. Can you imagine like traveling just from Earth to the moon and like being able to see things from space? And it's just kind of like, what you are able to
can
do.
Can you imagine living on Tatooine and having dual suns? Because I can't. I'm living in Star Wars.
That'd be good. No, that'd be cool. We were of the same thinking of having a space one in there where we could go from like
that was critical. Right. Yeah.
Had to do that. All right. So Kyle Y asked this. He said, Wellerman inspired. You're on a whaling ship. You're the captain. You need 5 players as your crew. Who are you choosing and why?
He also said he needs some whaling facts.
Yep, he did say that. Ben needs to give whaling facts. Yes, he did say that at the end.
No problem. Whaling, which I've done more reading than I think is necessary to do about whaling when I could not stop listening to the Weatherman song for that like 3-day period. Okay, so I learned that There She Blows is because of whaling. Right, yes. You never like think about it, like, oh, like There She Blows. You're like, that means that thing is over there. But you didn't really like the guy was up in the nest, and whaling ships didn't even really have a crow's nest. They just had like a stick on a mast and then a higher stick you could lean up on, and that was it. There was no like nest. You had to like constantly be making sure you were like holding on to the mast. But they would see like a whale spout, right? Like a blowhole, the whale came up to breathe, and they'd be like, There she blows. And they'd be like, point. There she blows. And then the captain would have to try to find it, and then have to like, and this is legit. The captain would have to find it and just like look at the spout way in the distance. You can see it like from miles away, and then decide whether or not it was worth chasing the whale off of just that information. Like, oh, that looks like a big spout, kind of close. Let's go, team. Like, that was it. Like, all right, here we go. Because you can't bring the whole boat. You got to go out in little boats. They go out in these little rowboats. And so the crew's just been like lollygagging around. So they're just sitting around in the ocean waiting for maybe a whale to show up. They're like, so they pick it up and like go like these rowboat. But they have to be quiet because the whales can feel the vibrations in the water. And they hear it and they don't, you got to ambush the whale. And so you're row. But you got to be quiet. It's like row. And then eventually you would get close enough to the whale. And then the guy with the harpoon would just harpoon the whale. Like, it was just like, eh. Yeah, that's a whale. Harpoon. And the whale would freak out. And they would have a massive...
Yeah, so what? I ever got harpooned.
Right, exactly. It's like a huge whale harpoon. So they harpoon the whale. And then you've got a massive rope coiled around the mast. Coiled around like a main shaft on the rowboat. And so the whale like dives. The whale like, you know, like harpooned and fought her until she died down low, right? Whatever. The whale dives. The whale goes to run. And you just got to let that rope go. And that rope would kill people. Like, think about how fast a whale is going. So the thing would like, it would like burn and it would like, it would smoke. And if you got close to it, it would like shear you. It means it would tighten up so fast you couldn't put your hands on it.
This doesn't seem worth it. Why did we do this? Why did people
Right? It's ridiculous.
Why did people do this?
Because, I mean, whales had a lot of resources and people wanted money and it's bad to kill whales. But
100%. But like, what did we want out of this?
Oil. So the rendering of the blood was
olives.
Very interesting.
Olive oil. All right, great. Right,
okay.
Vegetable.
Skip forward oil. A little bit. So, okay, let's say we eventually kill the whale. We just chase it with a harpoon several thousand times and it dies. Then you would have to tug it back to the main ship, which could be like miles away. You're just a little boat with the rope. So just row, tugging a whale through the water. And that's nuts. And then you would get the whale and they would lash the whale to the side of the boat and they would render it 24/7 because it's huge and you have to render the blubber into oil fast. The meat is going to rot. It's going to bring like seagulls. It's going to bring scavengers. It's going to bring sharks because there's blood in the water. She's working 24/7 with like extremely slippery. There's blood all over the deck of the ship. You've got massive like saws and stuff to like cut through this whale skin and get to the blubber. You've constantly got like these big boiling pots on the boat itself because you're trying to get this blubber and render it down into oil. It's extremely dangerous. Like, most of the crew is dying like in this process.
How is this worth it?
You would get a whale and you would render the whale and then you'd just have like food on the table for your family for years off one whale. And so
you would have it for years.
Not like from the whale, just saying like from the work, from the job, right? And so you would go and you would wait around for another whale. The Tongan, by the way, take our leave when the Tongan is done, we'll take our leave and go. Tongan is the last task in processing the whale, right? The tongue is the last piece of the whale that is salvageable, and you can salvage it for meat. You can eat whale tongue. It's huge. It's a whale tongue. And so the Tongan is when the crew would cut up the whale tongue, and then they would also eat some of the whale tongue to be like, yeah, we did it. So that's whaling. I would bring Ryan Jensen, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelsey, Jair Alexander.
Okay.
Mostly for humor and entertainment.
Okay.
Right. And then I did a bit of a cheating one here and I took Randy Moss, not a current NFL player, huge fisherman. And sure. I feel like Randy and I would have a good time chatting about fishing.
Yeah.
And also we would have like some enthusiasm for this, though it's illegal and bad. And this is obviously a hypothetical situation in which there are many, many, many whales in the world. It's totally okay to go whaling. I would bring Randy Moss as well.
Well, my five players, after learning all about whaling, I feel like I should have changed my guys. But I also had Ryan Jensen because there's not a more pirate potential guy in the NFL than Ryan Jensen. I also have David Bakhtiari. I have George Kittle, both for strength and comedic purposes. I have Ryan Fitzpatrick for also comedic purposes, but also, you know, the Harvard education. And then Alvin Kamara, just because he's hilarious, he's strong, and I feel like he'd be great on a boat. Folks, we got NFL games coming up this weekend. There's lots of NBA action already going on. The Tampa Bay Lightning are still undefeated in the NHL season. I'm just saying. If you think you know who's going to win the big game, whether it is in any of those sports, you can put some money on the line over at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account over at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, no spaces, locked on, for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's a good way to usher in this next question. Tyler asked this one. He said, switch up all the QBs playing this weekend to the opposing team. So Rodgers is on the Bucks, Brady's on the Packers, Allen's on the Chiefs, Mahomes on the Bills. How do you see it playing out? Would the results be massively different?
I think that Buffalo Kansas City doesn't interest me too much because both teams are built similarly now, right? Extremely pass heavy. Tons of weaponry at wide receivers / tight end. You know, Travis Kelce kind of operating as a wide receiver here. Two high defenses, comfortable getting run on, looking for big plays, looking for turnovers, not trying to, you know, hold teams to 16 points, just trying to bend, not break, force field goals, maybe get a turnover, maybe get a sack, wreak some havoc, send some blitzes. So to me, that's, you know, Bills favored by 3. If you switch Mahomes and you switch Allen, right now the Chiefs are favored by 3. So to me, that's that.
Yeah.
Packers box is a lot more interesting because it's Brady in that LaFleur offense, which sounds really, really good. Rodgers on the move ability is important to the explosive plays of that offense, which Brady doesn't really have as much. Mm-hmm. And then it's Rodgers in that Arians offense, which we know how frustrated Rodgers got with the McCarthy offense for being like, let's run slant flat 18 times. And Arians, you know, likes his style and doesn't really adjust it too much. And Rodgers tends to be a risk averse thrower. He doesn't like throwing interceptable balls. He throws the ball away pretty frequently. Arians, you got to be willing to kind of chuck some tight windows down the field. I'm not positive that I think both quarterbacks are currently in better systems now than they would be otherwise. And I think both offenses would be worse if the quarterbacks switched. So I'm not really sure where I fall on Tampa Bay, Green Bay, though it's an interesting thing to think about.
I don't know. I don't know how Brady would do in the Packers offense relative to Rodgers. I think it would probably be a wash. I think Brady would bring that same level that Rodgers does, but even though Brady has been very good throwing deep down the field this season, I would still tell you that Rodgers has a better arm than Brady does. So I would say that if you put Rodgers on the Buccaneers, their chance of winning goes up exponentially because I just feel like he's a better deep ball passer. Yeah, I mean, you could say that he's risk averse, but like if Rodgers, right. You got to think about if Rodgers is in an Arian system the whole time, I mean, we're not just switching them for one game. We're not just saying like, oh, you're switching this week. Like, obviously, we would say that the situations would be different. So I would think that Rodgers would be a lot more comfortable, have a lot more time under his belt with Arians. And I think that, I mean, Tampa already does basically score 30 every week. But, I mean, this offense is pretty damn near unstoppable if Rodgers is the quarterback. And it's weird to say because I don't think that Brady has been bad at all whatsoever. But I just think that Rodgers does take them to another level that Brady doesn't.
You think so? I believe that Rodgers would not get along with Arians. I think that they would have a bad time about it.
No, I don't agree with that at all. These are two strong-headed competitors, and like I get it. I could see where they might disagree a little bit here, but like both of these dudes simply want to put each other in the best situation to win football games. That's what it comes to.
Right, yeah. I get it in the sense, like, yeah, like, if they were aligned, they'd be an unstoppable force because they're both, like,
right. That's kind of where I'm coming from here. Like, the Bucks with Brady are still a really good football team, but the Bucks with Rodgers, I think, would just be almost untouchable on offense. And then on the other side, yeah, I would agree with you. I think that the Bills become favorites in this game if Mahomes goes to the other side. Molly asked this one. I wanted to make sure that we got this one in. In a world where every team releases their starting quarterback and they are drafted anew according to the 2021 NFL draft order, what does the top 10 look like?
Not dissimilar to what it might look like now, right? It's a little bit weird.
No, I think there's no... every quarterback's available to be picked.
Wait. Stopping. This is redraft top 10. This is redraft all NFL quarterbacks, or this is all quarterbacks that are starting in the NFL are gone, and we have the same exact class as we do right now?
I think that what happens is all the quarterbacks in the NFL right now are released and put into the draft pool.
Madden franchise redraft. I got you. Okay.
Yes. So like like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and Zach Wilson are also available for you to select, but are Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and all of them. But
I thought the question was like every team now needs a quarterback.
What happened? No.
Trevor Lawrence goes number one and Justin Fields goes number two, baby. I thought it was like that. Okay. Mahomes.
Okay, Jacksonville. We're using the 2021 draft order. So yeah, I have Mahomes going one to Jacksonville.
Deshaun, two.
I have Deshaun going to the Jets.
Russ?
I have Russ going three to Miami.
Allen?
I have Lamar going four to Atlanta.
It's Lamar or Allen? All right, so Lamar, Allen's at five.
Allen going five to Cincinnati.
Do the Eagles make it? Oh, well, this is now interesting. Like, which team goes for Rodgers? Which team goes for age? Which team says we're going to win right now?
Right.
Rodgers might go four. The Falcons.
I don't have Rodgers going that high.
Might go three to the Dolphins. Just draft Rodgers and win a football game, man. All right. Who do you have at six?
I have Philly taking Dak Prescott.
Yeah. If he's healthy, makes sense. It's easy to forget Dak because he didn't play last year. He was so good.
I have seven as a different one, and people are going to freak out about this, but I'm just telling you, I did this pick off of what I think would happen, but I have Lawrence going seven.
No, I was going to say, I think that we start to get into the Lawrence Fields conversation at this point.
I think I have Lawrence going seven to Detroit. I have Herbert going eight to Carolina.
Herbert, yep.
I have Rodgers going nine to Denver. Shout out tall quarterback. Shout out John Elway. Finally getting Aaron Rodgers. And then 10, I really had no idea at Dallas. Because you can at this point make an argument for Kyler, Justin Fields, Baker Mayfield if you wanted to. Like,
right.
I don't know at this point. It's basically like, what is your outlook of some of these other quarterbacks?
Yep.
And so I was pretty confident with the nine that I chose. But then 10, it's up for debate.
So in early December, I wrote this piece. I had Patrick Mahomes in the GOAT tier. I had Deshaun and Russ in the elite tier. I had young risers, four Dak Prescott, five Lamar Jackson, six Josh Allen, seven Justin Herbert. And then my fourth tier was just called Aaron Rodgers. And the only person in it was Aaron Rodgers. And I was like, he's just so difficult.
Was Matt Ryan.
Was Matt Stafford. He was so difficult to place because he's playing in his late 30s and he's playing arguably the best football of his career. And that's a difficult trajectory to project out beyond age 37. And then after that, right, I had the youth where I had Kyler, Tua, Trevor, Justin Fields, and Joe Burrow all in the same tier. Because I had Herbert a tier above because of how well he's played. Mm-hmm. But right, I think that after you get those top guys we talked about, Dak, Lamar, Allen, Herbert in, you have Rodgers for a team that's ready to compete. And then you have whatever youth player you think is the best projection of Kyler, Lawrence, Fields, Burrow, and Tua. And I think that, right, probably Lawrence and Kyler would be the picks there. I am hesitant on Kyler Murray, to be very frank.
Sure, right.
But yeah, like it's kind of your what flavor you like.
Yeah. All right, we got three more questions. We're going rapid fire to end the episode. Noah asked, if NFL wide receivers became corners and corners became wide receivers, who are the top five wide receivers and top five corners in the league?
All right.
Yes.
Wide receivers.
I hate my wide receiver list.
Why do you hate it?
I just hate it.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, I have Tyreek number one. I have Tyler Lockett number two. I have Stephon Diggs number three. I have Terry McLaurin number four. And then I had Golden Tate at number five. I hate it.
I have three of those players.
Okay.
I don't understand what's wrong with that.
I don't know. I just hated it.
All right. Well, okay. So my number one is Stephon Diggs. My number two is Tyreek Hill. My number three is Michael Thomas. Now.
Oh, gross. Ben,
Michael Thomas.
Gross.
Absolutely.
No, never mind. I like my list better than yours.
Michael Thomas is a corner currently. He acts like a corner, right? Just everything. He's persecuted. Every flag doesn't go his way. Constantly talking mess. Think, okay. And think about it.
Okay.
He runs the entire route tree within 5 yards. Be a press corner. Defend within 5 yards. And if somebody beats you on a release off line of scrimmage, you're getting burned. It's how Michael Thomas is as a wide receiver. It's how he's going to be as a corner. And then I have Odell, which I think I'm surprised you didn't have Beckham Jr.
Yeah, I should have had him over Golden Tate. That was
a gimme. Yeah. Right. Now, corners playing wide receiver is easier, right?
Maybe.
All right. Well, okay. So I have Jalen Ramsey. I have James Bradbury. I have Stephon Gilmore. This is just top corners, I think, all the way through. I have Jair Alexander, and I have Tre'Davious White.
Okay, I have...
Just technicians, releasers. Ramsey's got athletic ability.
I also have Jalen, Jair, and Stephon, but I also have Jason Verrett in there. And then...
He's playing slot?
Yeah.
Verrett's, like, too cool to play wide receiver.
What?! Don't come in here with that. And then the one you forgot that I felt like was a good one is I have Adoree Jackson.
Oh, frick. Adoree's obvious.
Yeah.
But Adoree was bad this year, so like...
All right, so these are two questions from the premium Slack that Ben did not see because it was I didn't send it to him late, but I wanted to get these in the show. So I'll answer it first, and then Ben can chime in. He said, this is from Daniel. What are your favorite traits in a prospect that don't directly correlate to their success at the position? For example, QBs that will truck people, fast offensive linemen, wide receivers with good contact balance, extremely physical / murderous safeties like Keanu Neal, all that stuff. So I have good hair / if you're handsome for quarterbacks. I feel like that's a pretty obvious one.
Colin Cowherd, baby.
Right, of course. Yeah, dude, handsome kids play quarterbacks. Just the way that it goes.
The recess yard.
One-handed catches for running backs.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say wide receiver.
No.
The curveball worked. I was like, yeah, he's right with the one-handed. Yeah.
Because if I see a running back do a one-handed catch, I immediately go, you're the greatest running back of all time. I remember watching Joe Mixon catch that wheel route pass with one hand in stride, and I went, RB1, I don't care. I don't care about the rest of the class. I don't care about anybody. This is you watch that one play, and you just go, this guy's got the skill set for where the league is going, and it's just like one play that just happened to work out where he just stuck his arm out. Trash talk for defensive backs. Obviously does not increase their actual skill, but...
No, it does.
Okay.
Absolutely, you're a better defensive back if you trash talk.
Correlation. Okay. All right. And then overall aesthetics.
You had to have been good at some point to start trash talking that messily.
That's not true.
Getting retribution.
That's not true. Corners will talk junk no matter what. And then the last one is just overall aesthetics. Like if you got a good aesthetic, then I think you're good. I just think you're good. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other ones to add?
Yeah, I got three down while you were talking.
Okay.
Number one, fullback and tight ends who try to and successfully hurdle. Critical.
Nice. Yeah. Right?
If I see you take a 3-yard flat dump off and you see that corner coming to cut your legs and you decide to make him a highlight reel, I accept. Defensive linemen who play with untucked jerseys that their belly comes out. Critical. If I see you third quarter of a game after a sack, you're walking back to the huddle and you've got full belly button. Yeah. You're a good player. That's important. You don't feel anything. I mean, you're playing in the game. You don't care about it. You just have belly hanging out. I love it. And then my last one is linebackers with 17 armbands. I forget who the one guy was. I think it was on Tennessee. It was some nationally televised game late, but he like had a hit and it was being reviewed and it was like a fumble or it was a targeting review or whatever. And all anybody was talking about was like, this guy's got 8 armbands on. Like what? How? You don't have circulation at that point. But if we're like the defensive player aesthetics where they have so many accessories on that you wonder how they're like breathing and moving.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's just like, oh, this guy's body is 25% cyborg. It's the Joe Bocci sensation, if you will. that as well is a stock up.
Final questions from Sean. If you could spend a day in the head of any NFL player or coach, who would you choose and who would you try to exploit for personal gain? I didn't realize there was the exploit for personal gain part of this question, but I picked like general managers because general managers obviously have like a bird's eye view of everything that goes on in the organization. You get to hear from head coaches a lot. So I figure like you get to understand like what their personality is and what their thought process is because you hear from them multiple times every single week. But general managers, you really don't. And they have big time decisions that are made behind the scenes that you never even know of and things like that. So like Chris Ballard, Brandon Bean, Brett Veach, like those dudes I'd love to be in the mind of and just see how they operate. But also for fun, I'd love to just see what goes on in Dave Gettleman's head. That was the fun one.
The answer is Sean McVay, but also Dan Campbell.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I would want to be in McVay's head because like the whole him knowing everything thing is interesting to me. Right. Like I would want to know what it's like to just like see a play and be like, oh, I remember in 2012 when in the third quarter of a 10-7 football game, the Rams, you know what I mean? Like that's
right.
Crazy. And I'd like to see that. Right. Dan Campbell is super entertaining. You 100% I would want to feel what Brady feels in game, because I think that certainly when you've been this good for this long, but even just like at some point in your career as a pro, when you're a vet, you start to process information automatically. Mm-hmm. You know what right. I mean? And I would right. love to be in Brady's head and to feel him walk up to the line and without even like consciously processing what he's thinking, going, all right, so I'm probably getting a blitz off the left side, and just be able to see what he's seeing and be like, how does he know that? You know what I mean? Like, because I can pause all 22 film, look at it for 6 seconds, and be like,
"Did you see the J.J. Watt tweet about Phillip Rivers?"
Yeah, right, exactly. Where Rivers was just like,
"Hold on, I'm gonna read it because it's amazing." Yeah. Where is it?
Right, but that sort of ingrained response would be a very cool thing to experience without having done the work to actually have that kind of ingrained response in your head. If you know what I mean.
Okay, here's what he said. J.J. Watt tweeted this when Phillip Rivers retired. I'll never forget lining up for a play and Phillip pointing out to one of our linebackers that he was lined up in the wrong spot based off the blitz we were about to run, and he was 100% correct.
That to me is just like, that's so freaking cool. My goal is to just know enough about football at some point in my life to be able to do something like that where I'm just like,
insane.
You know what I mean? Like right now, like I have to like, you know, speed to, you know, 0.25x slow and constantly pausing
right,
and
to see
thing, and eventually you just kind of know, you just have that instinct. That's nuts.
There we go, went a little bit longer on the Fan Friday
what
this week, but us never us yep. what over the time never, but we hope you guys enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun doing it. Who do you think's winning this weekend, Ben? Bucks, Packers, Bills, Chiefs, Packers is
it's chalk
without a bout. Or without a bout.
Not even about.
A boot?
Don't even talk about it.
It is, without a doubt, the Super Bowl that the networks and I think most of the country are rooting for. However, go Bucks. Go Bills for Joe Marino. Bucks Bills Super Bowl, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Let's get it. Ben and I are going to be back on Monday morning to recap the NFC and the AFC championship games as well as preview this Super Bowl matchup. I'm excited. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.